and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart. We're here for another week on this wonderful July evening, enjoying each other's company, and hopefully you've got your beverage ready, you're in your comfy clothes, you're relaxed, all set to spend another fun-filled hour talking about current events, news, politics, some humor, with a sprinkling of music thrown in there, because who doesn't love music? And music's actually my starting story this week. We lost one of the greats, one of the all-time legends. Love him or hate him, you gotta respect him. Ozzy Osbourne passed away peacefully with his family around him, according to news reports. And unless you're living in a cave somewhere, in which case you wouldn't be listening to my show right now, you've heard the news, and it's affected you, some of you very deeply. He was an amazing showman, and he was a great musician, and he brought joy to millions of people, and he was just a character in his own right, and I wonder what he thinks now that he's crossed over to the other side. I know for a lot of us that love music and were raised in this era that are Gen X's, and those subsequent generations whose parents and grandparents were blaring Black Sabbath. For those of us that grew up in the time where this was the music of the day, we're faced with another example of our own mortality and facing the fact that we're getting older and we've lost so many icons in the last several years that it's been a bitter pill to swallow for some of us. And for the younger ones, I'm sure that they feel the loss too if they grew up with that sense of appreciation of a great musician, because he was a great musician. Irregardless of what you feel about his spirituality and what his beliefs were, he was a household name. And I hope now that he's left the physical plane that he had taken the necessary steps to ask for forgiveness and that his soul is at peace. Mama, I'm coming home. I could be right, I could be wrong. It hurts so bad and it's been so long. So how are all of my little cannolis this week? Have you found peace? Are you still stressing out? How's your week been? For me so far, the hits have just kept coming. It's been an unprecedented week of putting out fires and trying to get people to live up to their word and do the right thing when verbally they've told me that they would take care of something and they don't follow through. Or I've had two issues this week of people who have denied saying things that they've said and standing by their word. The duplicity and the lack of integrity is something that we're going to continue to see arise in, unfortunately, as times progress in some areas. However, other people are going to be shown that this really isn't the way that you want to be living if you want to get farther down your life path by trying to screw other people over and be dishonest. It's just going to catch up with you. Those people that have those personal revelations, once they make the free will choice to become a better person and change their lifestyle and their thoughts and their approach to take in a higher road, they're going to be good. They're not going to go back. They're going to be solid. And so that's a good thing because they're not going to be waffling back and forth, let's say entering a life of crime and then one foot in, one foot out, or dabbling with some drugs but not others. And I'm only doing this kind of drug now, not hardcore drugs. Those, they're going to come clean and they're going to stay clean. They're going to make the decision to totally turn around their lives and they're going to be successful. They're going to be given the strength and the courage that they need. People are going to come into their lives that wouldn't normally be in their lives that are going to help support them and help them along their journey to becoming and living the life of a good person. They're going to help others. They're going to do really good things for the world. But right now, for them, just the baby steps that they're taking is going to propel them so much farther than they ever could have imagined because they made the free will choice to make the right move. Now, the people that I've been dealing with this week, and this is kind of on a professional level, and it is personal somewhat. So But broad scope, the people that I've been encountering this week are covering their ass because they could lose their job for something that they didn't do appropriately and correctly. And I'm in a position where I'm trying to handle things as diplomatically as possible. However, because of the nature of the matters at hand, I am willing to go forward with this as far as I need to go to make sure that everything is straightened out and done in a forthright, honest manner. And I think that the people that I'm dealing with sense that about me, even though I've spoken to them and looked right into their eyes. I think that's really what did it. Like, they know I'm not playing and that I'm not going to settle for anything less than what they should have done and for the things that they didn't do correctly to be fixed. And I think they sense that I'm not the type of person who's going to back down. And I'm pretty sure they know that I have somewhat of a degree of intelligence. I think that they feel that I know that they're not telling the truth, because all I've got to do is stare at them and make a statement. And they're trying really hard to maintain that poker face, and it's crumbling. So that's one of the blessings of having that inner type radar system. And we've talked about this on my show for years, is that my biggest enemy in situations, both personally and professionally, is when I ignore my gut instinct and I'm getting the twinges. Don't trust this person, or be careful what you say to that person. And I'm like, oh, it's just, that's me, my inner mind telling me not to trust them, because I've had issues with trust before and trusting people. But in reality, it's when my gut is pinging, I need to pay attention to that. I can't override that, because that's what's going to get me into trouble down the line. When you don't listen to that very first gut twinge and that very first instinct, and you try and talk yourself out of it because maybe the outcome isn't what you want it to be. Anyway, that's where I'm at, and I think they really are starting to get not only nervous but scared that I'm going to take it to the next level. And so they're trying to weasel out of stuff. And I'm not allowing that to happen. So it's going to be an interesting next couple of weeks here until this all gets resolved. And it may take longer to get full resolution of the issue. But suffice it to say that I am practicing what I preach. I'm seeing the outcome that I desire. I'm putting all of my energy that way. And their free will was to do what they did. My free will is to take the higher ground and not put up with any BS. I'm going to be firm. And I'm going to carry it as far as I need to carry it to ensure that I get the results that I need. I don't like the aspect of the people, like we were talking about last week, that were jabbed, because I bet ya, I just know that both of the individuals that I've been dealing with have been jabbed. And it does change your personality. You're going to see this. For those of you out there who are like, yeah, my wife got it, or my cousin got it, or my friend got it, or I got one, and I'm not seeing any difference or any change, depending on the formulation that you took or the people that you care about took, you are most definitely, and you should have been actually by now, but you're going to see more personality changes and physical changes that aren't good. So watch for that. But that frustrates me, because here we are, just like we spoke about, and I'm picking up the pieces and I'm trying to fix things that they should have done right to begin with and that they told me they would, and now they're not, and now they're trying to back out, and I've got to do the extra legwork and make sure that all of my ducks are in not only a row, but double rows, to not only insulate myself from other potential problems, but to formulate a strategy in which I will be not only ultimately successful, but now, since they push the buttons that they pushed, they're in a position where they're going to have to be held accountable for the decisions that they made. And that's unfortunate for them, but it's FAFO time for real. And I didn't want to take things to the next level, because I'd rather have resolved it peacefully and quickly, but they choose to try and play shady. So they've bitten off a little more than they can chew. and that's all going to come to light. And so that's the other thing that we talked about with this new year and the energies that are around. Remember me telling you, go back and listen to the archives. There are a lot of untruths that are going to come to light, and there's going to be a lot of light shed on situations that were previously living in shadows. If you weren't playing the game the way that you should have been playing it, things are going to get exposed. And when I say that, I mean that for those people, they're going to learn a lesson from this. And hopefully that will help for them to kind of pivot them and put them on the right paths that they need to be on in order to lead better lives for themselves. So that's what all of this is about. It's not from an attacking standpoint per se. I mean, it is, because they're being untruthful and dishonest. However, it's also going to be a learning process for them. And so that's why I'm really needing to remind myself and stay in that positive energy, because ultimately it's not only going to benefit me, and it's not so much a matter of being right as having the right thing done. That's what's important to me. And it's going to help them to understand that they haven't been doing things the way that they should have been for a really long time. And this is going to set them back on the path they need to be on. So there are multiple blessings that are woven into these challenges that certain ones of us are facing. We are truly ripples in the pond. You've heard me say this for years. And this is the time in our cycle, because of the energy, that now more than ever, we're going to start to see the ripple effects, not only of our actions, but of others' actions. We're starting to become more aware of the fact that we are truly one source, we're one energy, we're all interwoven. And it's going to be a real epiphany for some of us, because we've heard the words, but we've never really fully embraced the idea of it until it smacks us in the face. And now that that's starting to happen, it's going to give us all a better understanding of how our actions affect hundreds, if not thousands, of other people. Just a word, or a look, or a statement. And when it's something more intense and more involved, that much more does it affect everything around. So it's an amazing time, and I have to focus on that and on the positive and on what I want to see happen, what will happen, and let the frustrations go, and the fact that, oh my gosh, I've got 100 other things I've got to get done, and this has taken up way too much time that I really don't have, but I've got to forge through, because it's for the good of a lot of people. It's going to help a lot of people in different aspects and on different levels. And we're all learning. It's all a process to learn. And it's up to us, our free will, if we want to take what we learned and utilize that for the betterment of ourselves and also humanity, or if we want to go, nope, 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 I'm still going to keep playing my little reindeer games, and I'm going to see how far I can get when I'm going down the sneaky path. Yeah, not very far. And the blessings are bestowed upon me in the midst and in the height of all of this convoluted nonsense and BS and stuff that I'd rather not have to deal with if people would just do what they said from the beginning. I'm still getting these little presents, these little gifts that I've told you about before on the shows. So again, that's affirmation that I'm on the right path, and it kind of boosts my spirits a little bit, elevates my mood, brings me back to balance and actually in a more positive mood, because I've had these little blessings that have been for a long time. If somebody does something that's wrong or hurts me or does something mean to me, I get some sort of a gift somewhere or a blessing, and it's kind of like, here, this kind of makes up for what happened to you over there. It's that sort of energy that really made me start to think about how everything truly is that circle, how everything is connected. So when we are in our tough times, there are blessings that are bestowed upon us. We just have to have our eyes open enough to see them. And the little transgressions that we suffer, that our ego wants us to think are the most important things in the world, really are inconsequential in the grand scheme of things. What are we learning from this? What are we teaching other people from this? How is this affecting not only my life, but others' lives? And how can I play my role better, or how can I make decisions that will determine down the line not only what's good for me, but good for people around me? Can I handle something in a slightly different manner so that it's not quite as crushing as I would like for it to be? Because the old me wants to just like, all right, Scorpio, right? If you believe in that type of energy, it's characteristic of my birth date, if you believe in all that stuff, crush the enemy and they know not to ever mess with you again and keep going. That was the old mindset years ago when I was a lot younger. Now it's like, okay, I'm going to do what I need to do to make sure that this never happens again and they'll learn from their mistakes. But is there a way that I can navigate this to make this maybe a little less painful for them? Or is there a way that I could handle this maybe a tad more diplomatically that will allow them to save some face and cut down on the amount of resentment that's sure to be there because they've got egg on their face? What can I do to make everything smoother? Because I got to keep in mind all the time that it's not about me. It's never about me. It's about what's good for everybody involved. So my desire to be right, not so much. My desire to do the right thing and help others in the way that's appropriate and also help people to learn along the way, that's where I'm trying to come from and that's what I'm striving for. And I hope that makes sense to you. In a word, grace. Having consideration for others even while I'm upset and trying to fix what they've made a mess of. How I deal with others is going to help them to manage their successive relationships. Hopefully and ideally, as long as they aren't too far gone because of the poisons and toxins that they put into their body, because that's always the disclaimer. And if they're too far gone because of the personality changes that we're encountering because they've gotten the jab and they're going to go a different path, then I'm going to take that and run with it in a different direction, still get the results that I want. But what I feel in this particular scenario is that they're coming at it more from a self-preservation perspective rather than being toxic, because they don't want to lose their jobs. All right, let's get into some clippies. The first section is very lengthy and it's about Sharia law. I keep hammering away at this because you can't look at a news source anymore without finding some clips on Sharia law. It's all over the place and we need to do something about this, folks, and rapidly. We need to send these people back where they came from. Our country is in grave danger. If you like my take on how deep is your love, how deep is your doze, you're going to love this next one. Not my, woo! Not my Sharia. Go home, Sharia.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun.
That ought to scare him away. Here's a clip from a prepared patriot.
Now, we cannot allow them to come into our country and proselytize in their mosques by talking about overthrowing our government, our constitutional democracy, saying they want to replace it with Sharia. And then we say, well, that's okay. That's freedom of speech. That's freedom of religion. That's not. It's sedition. So we've got to understand that this battlefield is just not overseas. This battlefield is here.
That's really the essence of dismantling the system of injustice, is to replace it with the people who represent the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to change and replace the system. Islam is jihad.
When it comes to spreading Islam on a state level, on a societal level, that method prescribed is jihad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed that the ones who don't accept the ruling of Islam, they must be fought. This is simply the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Using a protest to overthrow a non-Muslim government in a non-Muslim country.
For us Muslims living in the West, our jihad is to establish the deen of Allah through all means.
Here's one from Vanessa C30.
I don't know what's going on in Texas, but the White House, the current administration, President Trump, J.D. Vance, Pam Bondi, Cash Patel, y'all need to get down to Texas. Something's happening down in Texas where they, along with the epic city that the Muslim Brotherhood was trying to pass in Texas, now they're doing boycotts and not even boycotts. They're doing protests and different things down in Texas, and they're trying to pass Sharia law down in Texas. We're not having that. We Americans. This is FAFO country. We're not having this Sharia law in the United States of America. Trump, President, I need you to get up on this. I need y'all to, hey, I need this video to go viral. I need y'all to send this all around. We need to stand up as Americans. We will not have Sharia law up in this country. We're not going to have that. You're not marrying those 6-year-olds. You're not going around raping and beating and torturing women, especially Christian women. We're not playing that up in America. Not today. Not today. You know what? It's time to practice our Second Amendments. If you ain't armed up now, I'm suggesting you start getting armed up. We're not playing the Sharia law up in the United States. We're going to have some FAFO around here. Y'all need to get up down in Texas and go handle it. Pam Bonnie, you my girl, I need you to go down to Texas and handle it. You, Tulsi, I need you to go with her too. Cash Patel, I need you down there. Tom Holland, I need all of y'all down in Texas. Because they started it in Texas, they're going to try it next in my state, and they're going to spread this crap around the whole United States. We're not playing the Sharia law crap in the United States. Everybody that sees this video, share it, like it, send it around. Everybody else start making your own videos. We need to shut this crap down now.
I think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy.
I hate to break it to that young lady in the previous video, but they're already here and we need to stand against this and get these people out of our country. If you're a lyrics freak like me, you would know that the lyrics to My Sharona, by the way, which is why I picked that particular song, not just because it had 3 syllables like My Sharia does, but it's about messing with little girls, young girls. The other night I was plagued with visions about this part of this implosion from within in our country, and I don't see a good outcome unless we truly all stand together and oust these hateful criminals and these illegal immigrants who do vile things to children, women, Christians, and just society in general. Just this past week in New York City, Islamists surrounded JFK Airport calling for a global intifada, and JFK Airport officials had to issue a travel advisory. That's the next clip. New York City police officers, 150 of them, took early retirement in one day. So the Big Apple is already short on cops, and now it just got a whole lot shorter. Think of the ramifications of that action alone.
Listening to the Positude Podcast with Maggie Hart. Stay tuned.
That last clip was from Jacqueline for New York City. The next one from Mindset for Society features a sheik talking about radicals, extremists, and terrorists.
Let me say this in English so you can understand what I'm saying.
I have translation.
No, I know you have translation, but I just want to make sure you get it right. There will come a day that we will see far more radical, extremists, and terrorists coming out of Europe because of the lack of decision-making, trying to be politically correct, or assuming that they know the Middle East and they know Islam and they know the others far better than we do. And I'm sorry, but that's pure ignorance.
Next up, also from a prepared patriot, Omar Fateh, the socialist who's running for mayor of Minnesota, says that he's going to infiltrate the government to enrich the Somalis.
Increasing affordable housing and not gentrifying our neighborhoods. These are all things that are causing harm to our community because of this idea that there isn't money, when in reality, we do have this money to spend on this. It's just that we're choosing not to. It's not a value of ours. So right now, we're blessed to have 3 Somali elected officials at the Capitol, me, Sister Hodel Hassan, who's in the State House, and Brother Mahmoud Noor, and we work very closely together, and we carry each other's bills. So the way it works is, if there's a bill in the House, and needs an identical bill to be carried in the Senate for it to be negotiated and to pass in the committees and then go on for the floor session and then go on to the governor's signature. So we're able to pass our bills back and forth that'll help benefit our communities.
And Home Shield Advantage posts how Governor Murphy from New Jersey is screwing up again.
So Governor Murphy's sanctuary state directives are making us all unsafe. I just found out one of the escapees from the Delaney Hall riot tried to turn himself into the state police, but because of Murphy, the stateies had no jurisdiction. They had to let him go. Common sense dictates that because of Murphy's two-tier justice system, foreign criminals are going to hide out in New Jersey because only federal agents can apprehend them. They are essentially untouchable. Heck, if I was a foreign criminal, I'd move to New Jersey and be the next John Dillinger.
Hey, baby, what are you, some kind of nut?
That was Barry Richards for your listening enjoyment. Officially So Tired kicks it in with a video about ICE raids in Houston, Texas. Maybe they heard that lady's video that we played before.
Some were arrested for robbery as well as homicide, and one was even convicted of hijacking an airplane from Cuba flying to Florida in 2003. Take a look at your screen here. ICE arrested David Blazo Alvaranga June 12th in Houston for entering the country illegally from El Salvador. ICE also arrested Jose Mesa, who they say illegally entered the U.S. four times and was convicted of sexual assault of a minor. Then you have Javier Gonzalez, who was also arrested last month. He was convicted of sexual indecency with a minor. Now here's a breakdown of the accused criminals. 32 child predators, 9 murderers, 16 gang or cartel members, and that 56-year-old I mentioned earlier convicted for hijacking an airplane. In June alone, ICE arrested 1,361 people living in the Houston area that the agency claims entered the U.S. illegally.
My pappy used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, get a hold of Maggie Hart at @MAGGIE_HEART at outlook.com to get it fixed.
This next video from the Daniel Goddard really upset me, and it should you as well.
Staying in the state of Oregon, someone can walk up to your two-year-old kid completely bare naked, and that's not a crime, even if it's on your property.
Correct. Well, so it's trespassing, but what I'm saying is there's no laws against the actual nudity portion of it.
So you can expose yourself to children in Oregon.
Again, if you're not doing it for sexual gratification or the gratification of somebody else, yes, you are allowed to walk around in public naked.
On private property, this is where I live, and someone just came and exposed themselves to my two-year-old boy. And this officer's saying that it's not a crime. So a naked person came up onto my property here, approached my two-year-old kid completely naked, which I ran over to him and covered his eyes so he wouldn't see. My obvious thought is to call 911 as someone's indecently exposing themselves to my child on my property. At what point did this become a normal and acceptable thing to do? The cops will literally do nothing about it. They're basically saying we have to wait for that person to do something more serious to your kid before we can intervene.
You have to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Here's another one from Spot On 101.
Breaking news. ICE has confirmed that the four men arrested in the sanctuary city of Danbury, Connecticut, for running a child sex trafficking brothel are all illegal aliens from Ecuador. Oswaldo Ordonez Ortega, 39, Marco Robles, 40, Edwin Takili Takuri, 40, and Brian Ismael Vasquez Salinas, 23. I'm Joseph Bovino, America First immigration and business attorney based in Miami and serving clients worldwide who, unlike these dirtbags, can help make America great again.
Hell, it's about time.
It's conspiracy theory time. The first video is from Watch Chad, the second one, The Real Huckleberry.
Absolute major breaking news insanity, folks. New documents declassified by DNI Tulsi Gabbard. It's explosive. The Obama administration knowingly manufactured bullet-sized intelligence to create the Trump-Russia hoax in 2016. Let it sink in. $30-35 million in investigation. 2 years of wasted time on the Mueller report. Wasn't a misstep, folks. It was a hit job, coordinated political hit job. The evidence is overwhelming. According to Fox, Obama-era officials, deep state actors set the stage for years-long witch hunt, and it crippled Trump's first term, divided the country. And don't forget, censored you, kicked you off of social media, penalized you, demonetized you. Election interference at its highest level, and they knew it. They created it. They called it a conspiracy theory. Turns out the real conspiracy theory was happening inside our own government. So where's the handcuffs? Where's the accountability? Where's the arrest? We'll see what happens next. Pay attention, folks.
You just have to flood a country's public square with enough raw sewage. You just have to raise enough questions, spread enough dirt, plant enough conspiracy theorizing that citizens no longer know what to believe. Once they lose trust in their leaders, in mainstream media, in political institutions, in each other, in the possibility of truth, the game's won. And as Putin discovered leading up to the 2016 election, our own social media platforms are well designed to support such a mission, such a project.
The next one from The Pill of the Truth, Lebra DeVille talks about the Illuminati. I have absolutely no idea who this chick is.
What's the biggest opportunity you've received and passed on so far?
The Illuminati. I promise y'all, the Illuminati hit me up and they was like, yo, what's up? And I was like, pass. It was like, we got you. I was like, pass. That's like something that a lot of people probably would jump at. And I don't know how deep that stuff go, but yeah.
How was that asked? How was that opportunity presented?
You want to be down with this secret society? You want to be down with us? Basically, it was like, they mean business. They were like, they wanted me. They seen something, I don't know, but.
Like a person approaches you about this?
Yeah.
It's not something sent in a DM type of thing?
Mm-mm, nah.
Are there repercussions for turning it down?
I don't think so, nah. I'm a positive person. I attract positive things to me, so no.
And you chose not to join because?
I don't,
You passed.
I don't want to be a part of something that I don't understand.
So my friends and I have been having a lot of discussions lately about what's cooler, cats or dogs? What's the better choice for a household pet? One? The other? Both? And also, I had some input. Some people would like to hear me do more positive, uplifting stories like I did in my old Positude podcast format. So, of course, I want to oblige. So I've got videos from Pride at Kitty Cats, George Carlin, and ADHD Reactions talking about Scooby-Doo to start it off, and then we'll do a positive story. Right after I tell you the truth about Scooby-Doo.
Did you know that cats get more attached to people than dogs do? Studies show they actually see us as their mom or dad. Think about it. You feed them, take care of them, keep them warm, just like a real parent. That's why even if your cat is already 10 years old, they still act like a little fur baby who wants your attention. They learn your daily routine, when you wake up, come home from work, have dinner, and they really connect to your lifestyle. So when you leave, your fluffy friend gets stressed out and feels like they've lost you forever. Cats can love. In one experiment, scientists put cats and their owners in a new room. As long as their humans were there, the cats stayed calm. But when the owners left, 65% of the cats showed signs of anxiety. And here's something cool. Cats don't just love us, they heal us too. Their purring ranges from 25 to 150 hertz, which actually helps bones heal and reduces stress. So next time your cat climbs into your lap and looks at you with those big eyes, remember, they're saying, I love you.
Cats are all different. They do everything different than a doggy. Cats are cute. Cats are cute. Isn't he cute? Look at him. God, he's cute. He's a kitty cat. That's how cute they are. They needed two names.
I'm on to you, kitty, and you're in big trouble.
I think not, baby puppy. It is you who is in trouble.
Watching a lot of cartoons. I met my first hardcore drug users when I was only 6 years old. I am, of course, talking about Scooby-Doo and Shaggy. Can we get on board with this? Part of becoming an adult is realizing those two characters were high all of the time. And you can tell because they were never really scared of the monsters. They were more concerned with the munchies. Like they'd see a monster. monsters. Like sewing scoops. Check it out. There's a vampire.
Yeah, maybe he's got some Scooby snacks.
And they have the dumbest ideas in the world. Watch that show as an adult. Only a stoner would have these stupid thoughts. They would be in a haunted castle in the middle of the night, pitch black dark, and hear a noise. Like sewing scoops. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Like maybe someone's baking a cake. What are the odds someone's baking a cake? In a haunted castle. In the dark, only a pothead would think, like maybe there'll be cake. I told my mom at 6 years old, she got furious. She was like, you know what? Maybe they weren't high. Maybe that is the way the characters were created. I was like, Mom, let's be honest. Shaggy could talk to a dog. Have you ever thought you might be high and you look at your dog and say, hey, dog, I could really go for a pizza. If your dog looks back and says, yeah, me too, guess what? You're high. Get a van, find some friends, solve some mysteries.
Last but not least, I want to thank me. For believing in me.
This was the real-life Scooby-Doo, and it was pretty disturbing. In 1961, a traveling mystery-solving group called the Duba Scoobers made local news for cracking cold cases in Indiana. It was four teenagers and a massive Great Dane named Jasper, who they claimed could understand English. They drove a rusted green van, showed up after strange reports, ghost sightings, disappearances, haunted mines, and somehow, they always figured it out. But in October of 64, something went wrong in a town called Ember Falls. They were investigating a string of kidnappings linked to an abandoned amusement park. Only two members made it out. The others were found days later in a tunnel beneath the park. Faces frozen in fear. No wounds. No signs of struggle. They had gone mad and never spoke another word. Jasper the dog was never found. But here's the creepy part. In 1972, a hiker snapped a photo deep in the Ember Falls woods. It showed a tall creature walking on two legs with a canine face, wearing a tattered blue collar with a tag that read SD. This was the real-life Scooby-Doo, and it was pretty disturbing.
Did you believe that? That's part of what I was telling you about this year and the AI. That was all fake. Hard to tell, though, right? The next clip, though, is from That Good News Girl, The Story of Rufus. This one's real. It's your real good, feel-good story of the week by request.
When a California family lost their beloved dog Rufus back in April, they were heartbroken. But never in a million years could they have predicted what came next. Something so perfect, it felt like Rufus himself had a paw in it. Rufus had been with Jillian and Matthew for nearly a decade, adopted from the SPCA after he'd been abandoned in San Francisco. He'd been there for everything, their wedding, the births of their kids, and all of the quiet in-betweens. So when he passed suddenly from a terminal illness, they thought it might be a while till they were ready for another dog. But just a few days later, their daughter spotted something on Muttville Senior Dog Rescue's page that stopped her mid-scroll. It was a senior dog named Ziggy who had been picked up as a stray and looked strikingly like Rufus. The family couldn't pass up on meeting Ziggy. And when they did, everything about him felt familiar. Ziggy came home with them the same day. It was all so uncanny that Jillian sent in a DNA test. And when the results came in, it all made sense. Ziggy is Rufus's biological father. They'd run the same test on Rufus 9 years ago, and this test confirmed their connection. And while no dog could ever replace Rufus, bringing home the one who made his life possible couldn't feel more meant to be. I'm Jen, and I post something positive every day.
The next story is from Deep Fake Quotes. Last week, we talked about the Epstein stuff, and I played a comedy clip about how nothing's getting released. But here's another take, maybe, on that.
Imagine this, the day after the real proof drops. Not rumors or flight logs, but undeniable footage of world leaders doing hideous, unmentionable things to children. The world reacts with horror. Governments crumble. Markets collapse. Chaos spreads. Why? Because when power is suddenly removed without a plan, a vacuum forms, and nature abhors a vacuum. Now imagine you hold that proof, evidence implicating presidents, billionaires, architects of global control. You could release it, or you could use it to force them to surrender, dismantle their networks, and retreat without war. That's not corruption. That's leverage. And leverage is how you remove power without triggering collapse. To the doubters who say Trump is on the list, ask yourself, if that were true, why did they deploy everything to stop him? Lawfare, fake investigations, a CIA-signed Russia hoax, even attempts on his life. If they had the leverage on Trump, they would have used it already. But they haven't, because they don't. I wish Trump didn't have to lie. I wish there were another way. Maybe this bizarre, out of sync with MAGA behavior is the wink and the nod. Maybe acting out of character is the message. This isn't about feelings. It's not about outrage or hashtags. It's about power and how it's strategically neutralized. You don't take down the Illuminati or New World Order with a lawsuit. You do it with leverage. Silent, invisible, world-shaping leverage. My friends, we are all anonymous. And welcome to the real world.
Dr. Marks here. I'm the gentleman that was on the Sean Ryan podcast that talked about pedophilia and explained how their networks is coming from someone who, one, hunts pedophiles and protects children through our task force. This is the reality that I want people to understand. And the reason why the Epstein list will not come out, like I've said from the beginning, is because it is an intelligence operation. The best form of currency right now for control and power in our world is videos or pictures of children being abused by certain adults. When you have those as leverage, you can control a person to make decisions that will shape nations and truly make the difference in both political, legal, business, and world economics. The moment you prosecute a pedophile that would be on that list, you lose the leverage on them, and you also risk them telling the rest of the story.
And speaking of feelings, ABC News Live and Officially So Tired shared the next story. Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown says that she decides cases are unconstitutional based on her feelings.
I have a wonderful opportunity to tell people, in my opinions, how I feel about the issues. And that's what I try to do.
Nothing more than feeling. Next, from Libs of TikTok, Representative Pramila Jayapal accidentally admits that illegals get taxpayer-funded SNAP benefits.
Yesterday, I was at a food bank in my district talking about the SNAP cuts, the horrible SNAP cuts and Medicaid cuts, and they told me that people are not even showing up to Head Start, where they get their food. They're not showing up to the food banks because they're afraid. And it's not just undocumented immigrants. It is people of all legal statuses. It's undocumented immigrants who have been here for 20 years.
You're not very pretty, and you're not very bright.
And a double shot from Libs of TikTok, where a lady complains that she wakes every day filled with dread and rage because Trump is the president.
I miss who I was before Donald Trump came into power. It's hard enough being a human, an adult, a woman, a mother, but waking up every day with this sense of dread and rage. I miss the person I used to be. I miss the country I thought we were.
And Dear BBBS shares a clip of a woman who has 6 kids and is upset that her Section 8 housing got cut off.
So my landlord just left my house. I get a knock at the door. It's Saturday, a little bit before noon. I open it. It's my landlord. I'll let her in. She hands me this. She's giving you 24-hour notice that Section 8 is not paying my June rent tomorrow. Rent is due tomorrow. $1,100. $1,100. She expects me to come up with. Because they are no longer paying my rent, I have to pay it out of my pocket. I don't work. I'm not going to work. I will never have a job, ever. How does the government expect me to keep a roof over my six kids' head without Section 8? Just because I've been at it for 13 years doesn't mean I don't need it anymore. I need it now more than ever. $1,100. And you expect me to come up with that in 24 hours, or I have to get out. So pretty much, I'm going to be out on the streets, because there's no way I can come up with $1,100.
And in the health segment tonight, Total Body Detox has a video about Kraft macaroni and cheese, everybody's favorite when we were growing up, right? Who didn't have Kraft macaroni and cheese? Well, I didn't, because my family made homemade, but most everybody had Kraft macaroni and cheese, but was a staple. This is going to gross you out.
You want to know the truth about the pasta that's being produced at Kraft Heinz? We clean our mixers out every 19 days. What is presented in the pic is what our mixture of dough looks like after 5 days. Dough that doesn't get released into the dyes gets stuck on our wall mixers and turns into mold from condensation. The molded dough is then mixed into the fresh dough. Kraft Heinz is only worried about production and money. They hide everything when we get audited. I'm only presenting this info because it isn't right. I have to cover my nose when I clean the mixers to make sure I don't inhale the mold. Thought y'all should know in my Cat Williams voice. Kraft, on behalf of everybody, we would love an explanation as to what is going on over there. Also, how many brands does Kraft actually own that this is, like, happening with? We aren't sick. We're being poisoned.
And I shared a clip last week about Coca-Cola and how they're going back to using real cane sugar. This is more detail on that by the Food Babe, and she's also talking about other toxins in our food.
So what do you make of Coca-Cola and President Trump making this announcement that Coke has agreed to use cane sugar instead of chemicals to sweeten its beverages?
Well, first off, when I saw his tweet, I was speechless, to tell you the truth. I couldn't believe it. Just 6 months ago, I was on a stage talking about how
Coca-Cola in France, Germany, Spain, the UK, and Italy is made with real sugar. But here in America, we get Coke with genetically engineered high fructose corn syrup, which is sprayed with heavy doses of Roundup weed killer linked to cancer.
Any amount less of high fructose corn syrup in the American diet is a good thing for Americans, especially when it comes to cancer risk, because we know glyphosate has been implicated to cause cancer. So this is one of the biggest MAHA wins to date, in my opinion, because this means less genetically engineered high fructose corn syrup getting in American diets.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And, you know, when you talk about glyphosate, when you were on the show last time we were talking about it, it's in everything. All of, I mean, our breads are, I mean, I started checking labels after you were on our show, and it's impossible to buy things that don't contain it.
That's right. Well, it's, you know, it's one thing you will not be able to find on the label, unfortunately. It's sprayed on our food. It's sprayed on corn, soybeans in this country. It's sprayed on oats, wheats, and beans right before it's harvested. Americans have 500% more exposure to pesticides than other countries in the world. We use 25% of the world's pesticides, even though we're only 3% of the population in this world. So this is something we have to definitely look at. And by getting Coca-Cola, one of the biggest companies of the world and one of the most popular drinks in America, to stop using high fructose corn syrup and going to real cane sugar, that's going to reduce that in American diet. At the end of the day, we know Coca-Cola is not a healthy drink. You know, it's still got sugar. It's still got caramel coloring level 4 in it, which is also considered a carcinogen.
Right.
However, we need to reduce the toxic load that's being assaulted on the Americans right now.
It's not a great thing to drink. What about the food pyramid? We heard this big announcement at the Hill Nation Forum today that the FDA commissioner is going to change the food pyramid. What are you expecting to see there?
Just the words, eat more real food, and the dietary guidelines will have a tremendous effect on everything that is being produced in this country, because even whether you agree with what the government says about what we're eating, it trickles down into our schools, into our hospitals, into our other government-funded programs. And so we're being affected by those guidelines regardless, because that's what's being served to us when we're in these institutions. So
right.
it, really important that we get the truth about what has been done to our food, how our food has changed in the last 50 years, how it's become ultra processed, designed to make us eat more than we should, designed in a way that provides more food-like substances and ingredients that aren't nutritious and don't provide a nutritional value to our diet.
Yeah, 70% of what our kids eat is ultra-processed food. That is not a good thing.
We need more access to real food, and this is why I started my company, Truvani. I wanted ingredients that people can trust, ingredients that people can recognize, and we need more food companies doing that.
And finally, in our health triple play, Dr. Steele, 56, talks about green tea, tea bags, and dementia.
You drinking green tea or any other kind of tea that you think is good for you? Guys, we know that green tea is good for you. However, there's a major concern with this one, and I'm going to show you what it is right now. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Dr. Clint Steele. I'm a brain and nervous system specialist to help people just like you improve your life by improving your brain function, especially around preventing and, in many cases, reversing dementia and Alzheimer's disease. This one actually says green tea, a cup a day for well-being your way. So we know that green tea is good for you, that one specifically being green tea. There's lots of different teas that are good for you, help you sleep, a lot of different positive improvements for your life from tea. The problem comes with this thing right here. This is called a plastic tea bag. Most people don't know it as a plastic tea bag. They know it as a tea bag. However, this thing is filled with plastic. What the research shows is that when you put that in high temperature water to steep, it releases, guys, get this, it releases over a billion plastic particles and over a billion nanoparticles that are ingested into our body and get into our brain. The reason this is a problem is because, as those of you that follow me, by the way, if you don't follow me, you better start following me because I'm sharing some really good stuff here. Like this is gold, guys. The research shows that those that have dementia had 10 times more plastic in their brain than those that didn't have dementia, okay? In addition, what they showed that on average, it was 7 grams. 7 grams of plastic, this is equivalent to a plastic spoon being in your brain. We're also seeing it in other parts of the body, including men's testicles. Guys, this is nuts. We've got to decrease the amount of plastic that we're putting into our bodies, and this is a great way to do that. So I know it's a little bit of a pain, but guys, you're much better off to use loose leaf tea and make your tea that way. Much more effective, less damaging to your brain and to your body, and you still get the benefits.
And now for something completely different, we're going to do a relationship segment tonight, a triple play from Warface, Famous, and Grayson McGann.
I want to tell you how much I love you.
Oh my goodness, why did you park all the way down here?
Because I wanted to piss you off before we go in the store. Because when we go in the store and you're mad, you grab what you want and pay for it and we leave. If we go in there happy, you shop all over the damn store filling up a buddy. So that's why I parked way down here.
Whatever.
The next one, the guy claims when he sits in this magic chair, he can't hear his wife. So then he invites her to sit in the chair.
Hey, what? $400 hockey charge on our account. Honey, what is the $400 hockey charge on our account? The membership charge.
I can't hear any. We are trying. Huh. How many Amazon packages are coming this week? How many Amazon packages are coming this week?
You're right, I can't hear a thing.
When it comes to good night sleepy time, there are two types of people. There's the person who has to take the melatonin and then has to do some doom scrolling and then has to flip their pillow 97 times and then they spend all night like a rotisserie chicken over there at the Costco just bouncing back and forth all night long. And then there's the person that falls asleep the moment that their head hits the pillow and they start snoring. And somehow, some way, the two of those people always end up married.
It's Gen X time, starting out with the real Slim Sherry, who shows us the difference between Gen X moms and the New Age moms.
Selves, okay? Leave your brother alone. If you don't stop touching your brother, I'm gonna your
fingers off, and I'll have the doctor sew them back on for you, okay? I don't appreciate the sass and the back talk. I need you to try again. Did you just back talk me? I will knock you into next week. Go get the belt, now. Oh, honey, that's Lee. You're bleeding. That looks like you're gonna need some stitches there. Why are you bleeding on my carpet? Do I look like I'm made of money? Put a Band-Aid on that and go outside and play. Rub some dirt on it. You're bored? We could do some crafts or something. Maybe make some muffins. You're bored? Well, not anymore. You can go outside, mow the grass, and wash the dishes, vacuum and mop the floor, take the trash out, and peel the potatoes for dinner, and when you're done, come see me. I'll give you more to do. Honey, please stop leaving the door open every time you come in and out, okay? You're letting the air out. Stop running in and out. I'm locking the door, and don't come back until it's dark. I'm talking to somebody. Please wait your turn, okay? Do I look like I'm talking to you? Children are to be seen and not heard.
My brain is like oatmeal. I yelled at Kenny today for color on Outside the Lines. Megan and I are starting to watch the same TV shows, and I'm liking them. I'm losing it.
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
I'm your dad's brother, all right.
And the official Kathleen Madigan shares her views on her mom's ladies' league in a retirement community.
There's a lot of drinking going on down there with the old people in the retirement places. Like, my mom goes, I want you to go to my golf league and meet my friends. I said, okay, what time do we tee off? 8, but I like to get there at 6. What? I said, no, Mom. 7. I'll go, all right, fine. So we go at 7. I meet all of her friends. I get in the golf cart at 7:40 a.m. I go, Mom, your friends are a lot of fun, but what exactly is wrong with that lady, Mary Beth? She goes, oh, well, she's hammered. I said, dear Mom, it is 7:40 in the morning. She goes, well, we don't have a relationship with time anymore, Kathleen. We don't really live within time. We're like out of time. We're in a different dimension than you people that are in real time. She goes, you know, I mean, some days we wake up at 3, some days 6. I mean, today I've already had lasagna.
To add insult to injury this week, on top of the heavy Ozzy Osbourne hit, we also lost Malcolm Jamal Warner. And today I found out we lost Hulk Hogan. This is a very sad week for people my age who grew up with these icons. My pop loved wrestling, and he would break me out of church early every Sunday to go over to my Uncle Frankie's house to have some Italian food and watch wrestling. And it's one of my favorite memories of childhood. He adored Hulk Hogan. And hopefully now he's got a ringside seat to an awesome performance.
Hulkamania is running wild, man.
The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, a wonderful original musician from Louisiana, now residing in Colorado. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at AllMusic, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you.
If you like Maggie and the sound of her voice and want to keep her airing quality shows, I'd be much obliged if you donate to the network, because those folks are dirt poor and rely on your contributions to keep the lights on. Bless their hearts and yours too.
Thanks all for listening. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Good night, everybody.